Prithumaraj has been recognized as a Shaktavesh avatar of the Lord, which we have heard means that he is a jiva, but so pure and so desiring of serving Krishna that the Lord or Krishna empowers him. And Prithumaraj's specific service is going to be as king, Adhiraj, empowered by the Lord's potency to rule. Now, in this chapter, chapter 16, we'll hear of some of the predicted activities that Prithumaraj will perform. And we'll hear about those activities in detail in the next chapters, quite a few chapters, in fact, until the end of this book, and then onward up to perhaps 25 in the next volume, 25 or so. But in this chapter, the Vandis, the professional reciters, are going to glorify the future activities of Prithumaraj, but also they're going to speak about the qualities that he is going to have. He's already been coronated king. And again, he's empowered with the qualities of that Krishna gives to the best of rulers. What qualities are those going to be? What qualities are required for him to rule? That's one out of many. What does that mean, Ishwarabhav?
Yes, the courage, courageous to fight and protect.
But Ishwarabhav is more like a mood, a charismatic mood, a bhava, that I am an Ishwara, I am the controller. It's a type of charisma. Charisma literally means power. It's a certain demeanor that he carries. But that won't be spoken about here. But these qualities, as we hear about them one by one, these qualities we'll see evoke a certain mood or a sentiment within the hearers, we ourselves, because these qualities bring out such reverence and affection from citizens to their ruler, to their king. And the king, he is called Naradev, which means he empowers a certain type of energy of the Lord. And indeed, for the psychology of a person to be healthy in this world, he has to. There's a certain energy that comes through the rulers, just like there's a certain energy of Krishna's that comes through parents. And if that, if the position of ruler or parents isn't taken up properly, it causes difficulty in one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. One's psychology becomes turned topsy-turvy. And this is one of the problems in Kali Yuga, that all the people who are supposed to embody the authority, they're actually carrying a specific energy of the Supreme Lords, of Krishna's. And when the authorities turn improper or bad or don't fulfill their responsibilities properly, then again the psychology of the individual becomes twisted and it becomes difficult for him to give himself and trust fully his relationship with the Supreme Lord, because all authority represents Krishna, who is the supreme authority. So we'll hear the particular qualities that Prithumaraj has and how ideal they are. How ideal they are, and how they engender within the heart a particular type of reverence and security. Now, this chapter, for our purposes right now, begins at text 4. And we read the first 3 verses in the previous class. And I would just like to review the essence of what those texts stated. In the first text, it described that Prithu Maharaj, despite his being the empowered ruler and carrying Shakti from Krishna, he was gentle and he was humble. Just the opposite of his father, King Vena, who didn't seem to have a gentle or humble bone within his body. And we'll see some in the qualities of Prithu Maharaj, as we hear them, we'll see how he practically had the counter qualities of his father, of Vena. Where Vena was arrogant, Prithu Maharaj was humble. So this was the beginning of his qualities. His wonderful qualities is that he was humble and gentle. And then it describes in the second test that glorifying him, as we will make our humble attempt or attempt to be humble in our attempt to glorify Prithu Maharaj. This is purifying for the living entity. It's purifying to hear about Krishna. It's purifying to speak about Krishna. Indeed, this is the prime methodologies of bhakti yoga, of Krishna consciousness, the hearing, the chanting about Vishnu, about Krishna. Because that hearing and chanting places Krishna in the center. And this is the last thing that a conditioned soul wishes to do. He wishes himself to be in the center. Ahamkara vamudama. He is thinking himself as the doer, the central person in the great drama of life. We think the whole thing revolves around us, or at least it should revolve around us. No wonder we're in so much anxiety continuously. We're trying to remake the entire universe to revolve around us. What a task! When we are so insignificant, practically speaking. So rather than that, we glorify the qualities and characteristic of the Lord Prithu Maharaj. And that is very soothing for the heart. It is purifying for the heart. But it's an acquired taste. It doesn't come naturally for a conditioned soul. Rather, what comes naturally is he wants himself to be pure, to be glorified. And that type of activity causes him, or mentality, causes so much trouble. And the third text described that this glorification or preaching about the Lord, about Krishna, should be done with bhakti. Even a little bit of bhakti is so powerful. It should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. He should be placed in the center. It should be done for his pleasure. This again is the most difficult thing for a conditioned soul, to place another in the center. We always think that if I place another in the center and put someone else forward, then who is going to take care of me? I shall be bereft. So therefore, I should work like anything to make sure that I'm taken care of, that I'm central, at least to my own thoughts. Otherwise, I'll be left all alone. And practically speaking, the more that we try to place ourselves in the center, the more that indeed we are left alone and lonely and abstract, selfish and miserable. And that's basically the definition of Kali Yuga. Everyone feels lonely and thinks that the cure is to place himself even more deeply in the center. Because in Kali Yuga, very much because these authority figures aren't in the correct place, the parents, the rulers, the teachers, all the basic authorities, they haven't provided us, and our karma has placed us in these situations, that we have such a hard time trusting and having faith in Krishna and therefore surrendering to Krishna. This is the most dangerous thought for a Kali Yuga conditioned soul, that I shall place myself in Krishna's hands. So here are the qualities of a king, a real king. A real king who is performing his functions on all levels. That means he's dealing with the citizens properly because he is representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, he is so directly representing the Supreme Lord, he is called Shakshat Bhagavan. He is practically speaking the Lord, even though he's a jiva tattva. But he is the Lord because he's manifesting his Krishna's characteristics for ruling. So let's hear what he does. Text 4. These are the Vandis. They're speaking the glories, even though these will be enacted in the future by Prithu Maharaj. This is what Prithu Maharaj will do. These are his characteristics. This king, Prithu Maharaj, again, this is text 4, is the best amongst those who are following religious principles. First thing, he follows religious principles. No hypocrisy. As such, he will engage everyone in the pursuit of religious principles. So he himself follows religious principles and he engages others religiously. And he gives those principles all protection. He will also be a great chastiser to the irreligious and atheistic. So on one hand, religious principles are protected. They are made central to the government. He fosters or encourages his citizens to follow these principles. He himself follows them. And if someone introduces irreligious principles in the kingdom, atheistic principles, he is the chastiser of such persons. There is no hypocrisy within him. Here is Prabhupada's purport. What are religious principles, the basic religious principles? First is, there is a supreme. But what are the basic religious principles that are central, must be central? Truthfulness, yes. There is no religion without truthfulness. Mercy, mercifulness. And the third one that you said? Purity. What's the practical application of that purity? Cleanliness. I've heard Prabhupada speak on this. And what's the fourth? Austerity. And sometimes tolerance is put in that category. That non-sectarianness of government means that people, regardless of what religion they are following, they should follow cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness and austerity. There is no meaning of religion without these four principles. Purport. The duty of the king or the head of the government is described very nicely in this verse. So what is, without looking, what is the duty? Name a principle of this. To follow what? Religious principles. Yes. And again, atheistic principles are not allowed. Religion, religious principles that are atheistic, that do not say that there is a supreme Lord, they are not, this is not accepted as a religious principle. It is the duty of the government head to see that people strictly follow a religious life. A king should also be strict in chastising the atheists. In other words, an atheist or godless government should never be supported by a king or governmental chief. That is the test of a good government. In the name of secular government, the king or governmental head remains neutral and allows people to engage in all sorts of religious activities. In such a state, people cannot be happy despite all economic development. So the central principle of contemporary societies is economic development. And this isn't everywhere. But this is certainly such a strong tendency. If we have economics, especially by getting the people jobs and getting them to work in factories, and the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. But if the economics will be organized, and it's true, economics are so important, but then everyone will be happy. This is the prime principle. But it isn't. The prime principle is life has a purpose to develop our relationship with Krishna. And economics are required, but they are not the prime purpose. Because if we have that and don't have a relationship with God, what will give us shelter at the time of death? And after, and if we perform so many sinful activities to gain our economic prosperity, then what will be the result of our life? And next life, how much suffering will be there? In such a state where religiosity or the service of the Supreme Lord isn't placed as primal, people cannot be happy despite all economic development. However, in this age of Kali, there are no pious kings. Does anyone know what Prabhupada said about Prince Charles of England? What he called him? He said, oh, he's a hippie. That's what he said. How can the people be happy without religion and God consciousness? The rogues exact taxes from the citizens for their own sense enjoyment, and in the future the people will be so much harassed that according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they will flee from their homes and country and take shelter in the forest. Harassed by taxes, harassed by thieves, harassed by this, harassed by that, diseases. However, in Kali Yuga, democratic, and this is an interesting line, however, in Kali Yuga, democratic government can be captured by Krishna conscious people. If this can be done, the general populace can be made very happy. But I am afraid that that we will have to do a lot better on ourselves before we can take over the world in an appropriate way without it being a great disaster, a greater disaster. I am sad to have to say it, but it seems to be true that we have to set some example of being able to run a God-conscious society before we will take ourselves seriously, what to speak of others taking us seriously. And the principles that are being spoken have to be applied. Prabhupada does say, and again, in Kali Yuga, democratic government can be captured by Krishna-conscious people. That means that the people will have to be Krishna-conscious and their vote will count in a democracy. If this can be done, the general populace can be made very happy. If the population of the world is looking for its pleasure in this world on a sensual level, on an economic level, on a material acquisition level, then no one will be happy, but rather everyone will be filled with lust, anger, and greed, and dissatisfaction. The result of increasing one's material desires, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is distress. So there cannot be happiness on that level. There can be distress only on that level. So Krishna-conscious people, people that are Krishna-conscious. Text 5. So that quality was that he would propagate religious principles, chastise the irreligious and atheistics, and he himself would practice as he preached. So immediately, he is someone one can trust and take shelter of because he practices what he preaches. Text 5. The king alone in his own body will be able in due course of time to maintain all living entities and keep them in a pleasant condition by manifesting himself as different demigods to perform various departmental activities. Thus he will maintain the upper planetary systems by inducing the populace to perform Vedic sacrifices. Just the opposite of King Vena. So he will have sacrifices. He will induce the population to perform sacrifices. And in this age, as we spoke about several classes ago, that the main sacrifice is chanting Krishna's holy names. Just the opposite of Vena. He will encourage everyone to make sacrifices for the pleasure of Krishna. In due course of time, he will also maintain the earthly planet by discharging proper rainfall. In other words, and we'll hear about this later, that Vena was saying, why are you worshipping demigods? All demigods are situated in my body. Worship me, give up your envy and worship me. I have all power. Prithu Maharaj actually had all power. He had the potency to make it rain. And people were satisfied. Because there are sacrifices, anad bhavanti bhutani, because rain is born of sacrifices, sacrifices are performed, born of prescribed duties, and grains are born of rain. So at least the basic necessity of life, food, is going to be organized by Prithu Maharaj. Food in abundance. And we'll hear in the next chapter how he organizes that. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The demigods in charge of the various departmental activities that maintain this world are but assistants to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When an incarnation of God descends on this planet, demigods like the sun god, the moon god, or the king of heaven Indra all join him. Consequently, the incarnation of God is able to act for the departmental demigods to keep the planetary systems in order. The protection of the earthly planet is dependent on proper rainfall. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, sacrifices are performed to please those demigods who are in charge of rainfall. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhava yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudvava. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. Thus the proper execution of yagya, sacrifice, is required. Sacrifice again means to act for the pleasure of another. And in Kali Yuga, everyone's tendency is to act for one's own pleasure. And that brings disastrous results. So the other, who everyone should sacrifice for, is the Supreme Lord. His name is Yagya, sacrifice. As indicated herein, thus the proper execution of Yagya, sacrifice, is required. As indicated herein, King Prithu alone would induce all the citizens to engage in such sacrificial activities so that there would not be scarcity or distress. In Kali Yuga, however, in the so-called secular state, the executive branch of government is in the charge of so-called kings and presidents who are all fools and rascals. Prabhupada did not mind criticizing the governments and the scientists more than anyone else, and the people in general too, for being fools and rascals, not knowing how to proceed. Ignorant, fools and rascals, ignorant of the intricacies of nature's cause and ignorant of the principles of sacrifice. Such rascals simply make various plans which always fail, and the people subsequently suffer disturbances. To counteract this situation, the Shastras advise Harirnama, 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 Eva Kebalam, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Gatianayata. Thus, in order to counteract this unfortunate situation in government, the general populace is advised to chant the Mahamantra Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. We may remember that Prabhupada takes both sides. He says that the sadhus and brahmins do not have much power in this age, so they should chant Hare Krishna and get others to chant. But he also said that there should be some disruption of these atheistical governments, but we should not imitate those who have power. We should not imitate this in any way. We should chant Hare Krishna. We should chant Hare Krishna very sincerely. We should understand how difficult the situation being brought up in Kali Yuga is, and understand how difficult it is to accomplish anything on the personal or collective level in Kali Yuga. So difficult. Everyone is so disturbed in Kali Yuga. Everyone is convinced that we're making progress. There's almost no one who thinks that the Western civilizations are not making progress from something primitive. But yet, in the simplest way of calculating, previously wives used to stay home and the husband used to work. And now in the West, it's so incredibly common that both have to work. But you would think that with both husband and wife working and earning a salary, that they would be wealthy. But rather they're more and more in debt at the same time. and the taxes are higher, and people are more fearful of thieves and credit card frauds and this fraud and that fraud. What will happen to my children? What will happen to me when I'm older? What diseases? This problem. So much anxiety, and yet, unequivocally, everyone is convinced that society is making progress, making advancement and evolving. Such is the power of illusion. Text 6. This King Prithu will be as powerful as the sun god. And just as the sun god equally distributes his sunshine to everyone, King Prithu will distribute his mercy equally. He's equal to everyone, equally kind to everyone. Not, these are my friends and these are my enemies, this is my group, this is my community, this is another community, these people who are close to me get all the benefits and these people get neglected. No, a trustworthy person. Similarly, just as the sun god evaporates water for 8 months, and during the rainy season returns it profusely, this king will also exact taxes from the citizens and return these monies in times of need. Prabhupada's purport. The process of tax exaction is very nicely explained in this verse. Tax exaction is not meant for the sense gratification of the so-called administrative heads. Tax revenue should be distributed to the citizens in times of need, during emergencies such as famine or flood. Tax revenue should never be distributed amongst governmental servants in the form of high salaries and various other allowances. There's so many scandals continuously in the government on this level. And the first thing a government usually does, or often does, is they vote them a raise in the salary. Not first thing, but that happens so often. And so many ways to squeeze money. You know, the travel allowances, the senators traveling with their boyfriends and girlfriends, and the spending $100,000 to fix up their office, and on and on and on and on. Just cheating. In Kali Yuga, however, the position of the citizens is very horrible because taxes are exacted in so many forms and are spent for the personal comforts of the administrators. 7. This King Prithu will be very, very kind to the citizens. Even though a poor person may trample over the king's head by violating the rules and regulations, the king, out of his causeless mercy, will be as forgetful and forgiving, will be forgetful and forgiving. As a protector of the world, he will be as tolerant as the earth itself. Why is the earth itself considered tolerant? Huh? Yes, in the cows with their hard hooves, and the earth doesn't complain. You may make a very deep impression in the earth, but the earth doesn't complain. King Prithu is herein compared to the earthly planet as far as his tolerance is concerned. In other words, never vindictive. Very tolerant. You can give him trouble and he won't retaliate. Because when someone is very powerful, like Prithu Maharaj is powerful, everyone would be terrified unless he was tolerant and forgiving. Although the earth is always trampled upon by men and animals, it still gives food to them by producing grains, fruits and vegetables. As an ideal king, Maharaj Prithu is compared to the earthly planet, for even though some citizens might violate the rules and regulations of the state, he would still be tolerant and maintain them with fruits and grains. In other words, it is the duty of the king to look over the to look after the comforts of the citizens, even at the cost of his own personal convenience. This is not the case, however, in Kali Yuga, for in Kali Yuga the kings and heads of state enjoy life at the cost of taxes exacted from the citizens. Such unfair taxation makes the people dishonest, and the people try to hide their income in so many ways. Eventually, the state will not be able to collect taxes and consequently will not be able to meet its huge military and administrative expenses. Everything will collapse and there will be chaos and disturbance all over the state. 8. When there is no rainfall and the citizens are in great danger due to the scarcity of water, and this is, it's predicted, there talk about this very often on the news, that in the near future, right now there are wars fought over oil, but the future wars will be fought over water. And even 20, 30 years ago, maybe not 20, but 30 years ago, no one could conceive of bottled water and having to buy your water. And now practically, no one will drink the water in the Western so-called civilized countries. No one will drink the water. It's so contaminated. Everything is so polluted. And yet, we are making progress. And you can imagine that, and the air is so bad in the cities, and 20, 30 years ago, we couldn't imagine buying water. So soon, who knows, we're going to have to like be walking around with big bottles of air. And you could get some Himalayan air, or you could get some air from this holy place. Wow, we're making such great progress, but no one will be able to breathe the air. It's so bad, so polluted. So when there is no rainfall and the citizens are in great danger due to the scarcity of water, this royal personality of Godhead will be able to supply rains exactly like the heavenly King Indra. Thus he will very easily be able to protect the citizens from drought. Purport. King Prithu is very appropriately compared to the sun and the demigod Indra. King Indra of the heavenly planets is in charge of distributing water over the earth and the other planetary systems. It is indicated that King Prithu would arrange for the distribution of rainfall personally if Indra failed to discharge his duty properly. Sometimes the king of heaven, Indra, would become angry at the inhabitants of the earth if they did not offer sacrifices to appease him. Did anyone ever hear of this happening sometime? When Indra became angry at the residents of earth for not offering sacrifices? You have heard? Where did this take place? Yes. This hand. Yes, Prabhupada will mention that. I've recently looked at that pastime, and there are three reasons why Krishna stopped the sacrifice. Does anyone know what those? Anyone know one of those reasons? Yes. To break the pride of Indra. He had a pride that was like a mountain. And Krishna broke one mountain of pride with another mountain because he was a devotee. So he crushed his pride. A second reason. Yes, he wanted to be with the Brijbasis. Why did he want to be with the Brijbasis for 7 days? So much love and affection Krishna has for his devotees. And all that pastime and the Kaliya pastime really brought all the Brijbasis together, even though both were caused by anxiety. But everyone had the opportunity to simply look at Krishna. And even the gopis could stare at Krishna at that time. Well, during the regular day, they couldn't do that because he was a young boy. And the third reason? He wanted to, yes. He wanted to inaugurate a wonderful yearly festival that would be very, very joyous. And that is, of course, the what? Govardhan Puja. The worship of Govardhan Hill. The question is asked also that why that there were so many Brijbasis and so many cows. How is it that they could all fit under that hill, which was only 3 miles wide, in ecstasy? He was feeling so much ecstasy by the touch of Krishna that he expanded and he could give shelter to even ourselves in his ecstasy. Give shelter to everyone. This is the nature of ecstasy, when the heart expands in ecstasy. And he didn't feel the thunderbolts or the lightning or anything like that, because he was so ecstatic being touched by Krishna. Prabhupada continues. So Prithu Maharaj, if Indra didn't provide enough rain, he himself would provide the rain. It is foretold herein that if there would be a scarcity of rain, King Prithu would manage to counteract the deficiency by virtue of his godly powers. Such powers were also exhibited by Lord Krishna when he was present in Vrindavan. Indeed, when Indra poured incessant water on Vrindavan for 7 days, and there was no, and right after the rainfall stopped, there was, immediately the water in the river went down. There was no flooding or anything like that. This is Krishna's wonderful power. So Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan were protected by Krishna, who raised Govardhan Hill over their heads as a great umbrella. Thus, Lord Krishna is also known as Govardhana Dhari. And what does Govardhana Dhari mean? The lifter, or He's holding it. This king. So the power to do these things, this has all been given to Prithu Maharaj. These Shaktavesh, these powers have all entered into him by Krishna's mercy. This king, Prithu Maharaj, by virtue of his affectionate glances and beautiful moon-like face, which is always smiling with great affection for the citizens, will enhance everyone's peaceful life. Just everything so expert. I remember one time when I was a young boy, the mayor who was running for the mayor, the person who was running for the to be the mayor of New York City, visited our neighborhood. And of course, he was walking around and shaking, he was with his wife and shaking everyone's hand. And we were it was by the beach, so we were there at the beach, just young boys. So we were standing there, just skeptical, young men just looking at it. So I shook the mayor's hand, and his wife, with a smile on her face, she had a power of being able to smile completely when she was talking. She was like this. For the photographers, she smiled at me, and at the same time she said, "You should move away so other people could see the mayor." with a big smile, so you couldn't even, no one could tell she had even said anything. Just the opposite of Prithu Maharaj, with a beautiful moon-like face, who is always smiling with great affection for the citizens. Just imagine if this great powerful person, he smiled at you with affection, with true affection. How that would touch the heart. And that would enhance everyone's peaceful life. The reciters continue, "No one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow. His activities will also be very confidential, and it will not be possible for anyone to know how he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities, and his position will be maintained and covered just as Varuna, the deity of the seas, is covered all around by water." Prabhupada's purport is very interesting. Practical. There is a predominating deity for all the material elements, and Varuna, or Pracheta, interesting. The Prachetas meditate within the ocean, in the sea, and it seems as if a name of Varuna is Pracheta. So Varuna is the predominating deity of the seas and the oceans. From outward appearances, the seas and oceans are devoid of life. But a person acquainted with the sea knows that within the water exists many varieties of life. The king of that underworld kingdom is Varuna. Just as no one can understand what is going on beneath the sea, no one can understand what policy King Prithu is following to make everything successful. This is diplomacy. Indeed, King Prithu's path of diplomacy was very grave. A grave person, what is the technical definition of gravity of mind? Does anyone know? You cannot understand. You can think, what's he thinking? What's he thinking? You cannot understand. They are very deep. His success was made possible because he was a reservoir of unlimited glorified qualities. The word Upagupta Vitta is very significant in this verse. It indicates that no one would know the extent of the riches Prithu Maharaj would confidentially keep. The idea is that not only the king, but everyone should keep his hard-earned money confidentially and secretly so that in due course of time the money can be spent for good practical purposes. This is a favorite purport of everyone. Prabhupada said I shouldn't tell anyone how much money I have. In Kali Yuga, however, the king or government has no well-protected treasury. And the only means of circulation is currency notes made of paper, or in Australia, plastic. Thus, in times of distress, the government artificially inflates the currency by simply printing papers. So anyone else, when they need money, if they print more, goes to jail, but the government can do it legally. They're the only one who have the right to do it legally. They just print more paper. And this artificially raises the price of commodities, and the general condition of the citizens becomes very precarious. Thus, keeping one's money very secretly is an old practice. For we find this practice present even during the reign of Maharaj Prithu. Just as the king has the right to keep his treasury confidential and secret, the people should also keep their individual earnings a secret. There is no fault in such dealings. The main point, so here is the main point, so don't become too enamored by that point, is that everyone should be trained in the system of vanashrama dharma so that the money is spent only for good causes and nothing else, not wasted. So Prithu Maharaj was very deep. No one could understand how he got his purposes accomplished, but he always did. Everything he did was successful. Influential power. Sometimes he may have to bribe someone. Sometimes he may have to threaten someone. Sometimes he may have to give someone a position. Sometimes flattery. But always he would get his purposes accomplished. King Prithu was born of the dead body of King Vena, as fire is produced from a rani wood. Thus King Prithu will always remain just like fire. Interesting, he will be like fire. In what sense? And his enemies will not be able to approach him. In that sense, fire is blazing, nothing can approach him, nothing opposed can approach fire. Indeed, he will be unbearable to his enemies, for though staying very near him, they will never be able to approach him, but will have to remain as if far away. No one will be able to overcome the strength of King Prithu. King Prithu will be able to see all the internal and external activities of every one of his citizens. This is very interesting. This is what the kings need to rule. They have to know what's going on. But listen to this. He will be able to see all the internal and external activities of every one of it. He'll know exactly what everyone is doing. Still, no one will be able to know his system of espionage. And he himself will remain neutral regarding all matters of glorification or vilification paid to him. So one would think this king would be so dangerous, he knows what everyone is doing. And if someone criticizes him a little bit, they'll be afraid immediately that he's going to retaliate. But he was not like that at all. He was not the slightest bit petty. In China, everyone is always afraid because one out of every four persons is a spy. One out of every four, that means in this room, one, two, three, four, there would be like one quarter of the people would be telling the government everything that's going on. But Prithu Maharaj, even if people criticized him, he was completely above any petty retaliation or anything like that. Nothing disturbed him on that level. He would be exactly like air, the life force within the body, which is inhibited internally and externally, but is always neutral to all affairs. He would only perform his duty. There was never anything personal in any way going on as he governed. He loved the citizens. And therefore the criticism, insignificant. Since this king will always remain on the path of piety, he will be neutral to both his sons and the son of his enemy. If the son of his enemy is not punishable, he will not punish him. But if his own son is punishable, he will immediately punish him. Just as the sun god expands his shining rays up to the Arctic region without impediment, basically, the influence of King Prithu will cover all tracts of land up to the Arctic region and will remain undisturbed as long as he lives. In other words, no one will be able to check his influence. So powerful, so expert, uncheckable. This king will please everyone by his practical activities, and all of his citizens will remain very satisfied. Because of this, the citizens will take great satisfaction in accepting him as their ruling king. The king will be firmly determined and always situated in truth. He will be a lover of Brahminical culture and will render all service to old men and give shelter to all surrendered souls. Giving respect to all, he will always be merciful to the poor and innocent. The king will respect all women as if they were his own mother, and he will treat his own wife as the other half of his body. He will be just like an affectionate father to his citizens, and he will treat himself as the most obedient servant of the devotees who always preach the glories of the Lord. He would take care of the innocent and the helpless, the elderly, the matajis. He would protect them, he would care for them. Just as one naturally has affection and care for one's mother, he would care for all women and respect all women in that way. So therefore, despite the fact that he was so powerful, he was so balanced, he was so good, he had all the proper qualities, no one feared him except if one was doing something terrible, and then one would really have to fear him. But the citizens were so satisfied. We take for granted the thievery, for example, that goes on. We think that is a part of life. Recently, I passed on the way to Vrindavan, I passed through Singapore. And I was only there for one day, and one devotee picked me up at the airport, Krishna Chandra, very nice devotee. And we stopped in the middle of the city, and I had all my bags in the back of the car, because we had just come from the airport, with my computer and this and that. And I said, he wanted to go somewhere. We had to go somewhere to buy something for a half hour, an hour. And you could see all the bags and everything through the window. And I said, we can just leave the luggage here, my luggage here? He said, yes, no problem. How long would that last in New York, Raja Bihari? 5 minutes, especially near the temple, the Brooklyn Temple. 5 minutes. And we came back in an hour, and I was in complete anxiety. But everything was just there. They have one of the elements of a strong government in place. They punish very severely those who steal. Prabhupada gives the example of even 100 years ago. Consider this, that in Kashmir, that if someone dropped their wallet or whatever, any of their belongings, this is only 100 years ago, no one would touch it. No one would even touch it to say, I'm going to return it to the person. No one would even touch it to say, I'm going to return this, I'm going to bring this to the police department. It would sit there until the person himself came and picked it up. And it's because a king, a ruler, has to be strong. Prabhupada also said, you don't lock things up to keep the thieves from stealing, but to keep the honest people honest. So by strongly punishing the thieves and rogues, the honest people stayed honest. They weren't on the mental platform. They remained honest. And because he himself was so not only strong, but he had full integrity, and was so religious and so protective of those who were innocent and weak, and he used his power properly, everyone felt secure. Everyone felt secure. And because he was so gentle and affectionate, he treated the citizens like one treats one's own children, with such care and affection. He would be tolerant of people's, if someone wasn't following the rules and regulations properly, never mind, let me support him anyway. So generous and open-hearted, not taking everything for himself. So this is the kind of ruler that everyone is really longing for. And this is the kind of ruler that gives people the security and internal psychological security. They can trust authority. Nowadays, no one can trust authority. When you talk about the leaders, people laugh usually, make fun of them. How can we trust God in this Kali Yuga, practically speaking, other than by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We can't trust anyone in Kali Yuga. Everyone has let everyone down. Everyone who was supposed to be worthy of trust has proved untrustworthy. So therefore we have, psychologically, we have such a hard time to surrender to at the lotus feet of Krishna. Everything is upside down in Kali Yuga, and therefore we need special mercy and special medicine, and therefore Mahaprabhu comes to give us that special mercy, to call the bliss of Vaikuntha, of the spiritual world, to descend through chanting Krishna's names congregationally. 18. The king will consider all embodied living entities as dear as his own self, and he will always be increasing the pleasure of his friends. He will intimately associate with liberated persons, and he will be a chastising hand to all impious persons. We see with Maharaj Prickett, when there was an impious person attempting to kill a cow, he immediately chastised him. Interestingly enough, that was whom in the first canto? That was Kali. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that that meeting took place on a different level. It wasn't on the earthly level. So there are subtle things that were going on by the potency of Maharaj Prickett. He exiled him, practically speaking, and neutralized him on a different level. This king is the master of the three worlds, and he is directly empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is without change, and he is an incarnation of the Supreme known as a Shaktavesh avatar. Being a liberated soul and completely learned, he sees all material varieties as meaningless because of their basic principle is nescience, ignorance. This king, being uniquely powerful and heroic, will have no competitor. He will travel around the globe on his victorious chariot, holding his invincible bow in his hand and appearing exactly like the sun, which rotates in its own orbit from the south. When the king travels all over the world, other kings as well as the demigods will all offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king, who carries in his hands the emblem of club and disc, and will sing of his fame, for he will be as reputable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This king, the protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king, and he is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all the citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, but he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow, breaking all the hills, exactly as Indra, the heavenly king, breaks mountains with his powerful thunderbolt. When the lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls. Who gave him that bow? Anyone remember? No. Who? No. No. Agni, yes, the god of fire. All the demonic rogues and thieves will hide themselves in other directions. So Vena, like a snake, causes the disappearance of rats. And there is another way to cause the little insignificant rats to flee, and that is when the lion comes. So the lion of Prithu Maharaj was so powerful, all the rat-like thieves and rogues fled away. At the source of the river Saraswati, so these verses especially describe pastimes that we'll hear about in the next days and weeks. At the source of the river Saraswati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Aswamedha. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly King Indra will steal the sacrificial horse. This King Prithu will meet Sanat Kumar, and this meeting and the instructions that Sanat Kumar gives are perhaps the essence of all the different katha topics about Prithu Maharaj, because they instruct in a very important way, almost from a jnana perspective, but bhakti, and very, very, very sweet. This King Prithu meets Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras in the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion, because right before, the Lord tells Prithu Maharaj, he instructs him, Lord Narayan comes and he instructs him how to greet saintly persons. Then almost immediately, these four great saintly persons arrive. And Prithu Maharaj takes such nice care of them. And already he was fond of associating with liberated persons. But when he takes care, such wonderful care, and speaks so sweetly to the four Kumaras, Sanat Kumar begins to speak very, very, he gives him transcendental knowledge, which is very powerful. So the king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. And we too shall be fortunate enough to hear those instructions if Krishna allows us to do so. In this way, when the chivalrous activities of King Prithu come to be known to the people in general, King Prithu will always hear about himself and his uniquely powerful activities, because everyone will get pleasure about speaking of his glories. No one will be able to disobey the orders of Prithu Maharaj. After conquering the world, he will completely eradicate the threefold miseries of the citizens. Does anyone have any miseries that they would like eradicated? Are they adi atmic, adi bautic, or adi daivic, or all three? Adi scratchic, in some cases, that's adi bautic. He will eradicate everyone's miseries. The king had such a responsibility. Indeed, when Arjuna, the sons of some Brahmin died within the kingdom of Yudhisthira, and the Brahmin complained to Arjuna, "What is this? In the presence of Arjuna, someone has died untimely in my kingdom, in this kingdom? Are you in charge? Are you not in charge?" So Arjuna, immediately, as a proper Kshatriya. Who? Was it? Okay, it was Ugrasena. And indeed, he did, ultimately, by Krishna's grace. No one will be able to disobey the orders of Prithu Maharaj. After conquering the world, he will completely eradicate the threefold miseries of the citizens. Then he will be recognized all over the world. At that time, both the Suras and the Asuras will undoubtedly glorify his magnanimous activities. Because he was fully unenvious, the Suras and the Asuras both glorified him. Like whom?
Who?
Priyakaro. Niyamatsara sarano pujo. Because of non-envy. How can one develop non-enviousness? Or how could one remove one's envy? Because envy causes so much misery in our life. How could we remove envy?
By serving others.
By serving others. Nice. Yeah.
By recognizing everything and everyone as part or property of the Lord.
Yes. Meaning glorifying? Finding delight in the accomplishments of others. Any other? Yes.
Yeah,
sincerely chanting Hare Krishna at the bottom of the pool.
Anyone have any more suggestions?
Understanding our real purpose and they are insignificant.
Insignificant. Understanding our own position and our insignificance as insignificant. Because it's envy that causes the entirety of material existence, practically speaking. Because if we're envious that this person has something that I don't have, just imagine how envious we are of Krishna. We'll read the second half of Prabhupada's purport to the final verse. The word upatita lokasalya indicates that Maharaj Prithu completely uprooted all the miseries of his citizens. The word salya means piercing thorns. There are many kinds of miserable thorns that pierce the citizens of a state, but all competent rulers, even up to the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, uprooted all the miserable conditions of the citizens. It is stated that during the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira there did not even exist severe cold or scorching heat, nor did the citizens suffer from any kind of mental anxiety. This is the standard of good government. Such a peaceful and prosperous government, devoid of anxiety, was established by Prithu Maharaj. Thus the inhabitants of both saintly and demoniac planets were all engaged in glorifying the activities of Prithu Maharaj. Persons or nations anxious to spread their influence all over the world should consider this point. If one is able to eradicate completely the threefold miseries of the citizens, he should aspire to rule the world. One should not aspire to rule for any political or diplomatic consideration. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters. So we're going to begin in tomorrow's class in what we'll read to see Prithu Maharaj in action. Thank you very much. Any questions? Another, just a few moments, minutes worth. Any questions? You all were very patient, a long speaking class. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Oh, let me just do one thing. I wrote down a list according to my own summarization of the qualities that Prithu Maharaj, from the verses that Prithu Maharaj had. Please listen to them. He propagated religious principles. He chastised the irreligious and atheistic. He himself had the power to maintain the earth by manifesting the power of the demigods. He was equal to all like the sun. He taxed, but he returned those taxes in time of need. He was tolerant. He was forgetful, forgiving, and kind to citizens. He forgot their trespasses. He protected the citizens from drought. He enhanced everyone's life by his affection towards them. He had very deep policies, an unknown treasury. He was unbearable as fire to his enemies. He had unknowable systems of espionage, yet he was neutral in glorification and vilification. He was equal to everyone. He had uncheckable influence. He was pleased. He pleased and satisfied everyone by his dealings. He was determined. He was truthful. He was a lover of Brahminical culture. He served old men, the surrendered souls, the poor and the innocent. He respected women and his wife, the citizens, like father, treated them like a father, and he served the devotees. He considered all as dear as his own self. We are usually so self-centered and selfish. So if we would consider others as dear to us as we consider our own body as dear to us, If we could treat others like that, that was the quality of Prithviraj. He considered all as dear as his own self, a good friend. He was a good friend, and he associated with liberated souls, and he chastised the impious. He was a Shaktavish avatar. He knew that the material world was based on ignorance. He was heroic, powerful, invincible. He was honored throughout the world, and he milked the earth to provide food. He leveled the earth's surface. He was fearful to thieves and rogues. He performed 99 horse sacrifices. He received instructions from Sanat Kumar. He will be glorified by people in general, and all followed his orders. He eradicated the threefold miseries for his citizens. All glorified him, the Suras and the Asuras. Prithu Maharaj ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.